This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. And anywhere you are on the free Odyssey app. Wonder if the Braves do win one of these games coming up, and that third game against the Nationals doesn't matter, and it was scheduled for Thursday because of all this rain, if they actually would play game 162. Because we've seen in years past that games that don't matter, or makeup games or whatever that they throw at the end of the season, then they say, hey, you don't have to play because it doesn't mean anything to the season, doesn't matter, whatever. You'll play 161 this year. But because the Mets are going to the playoffs, and in that scenario, they'd be playing on Friday, if you're the San Diego Padres, aren't you saying, wait, well, I played 162, we played 162, how come they're not playing 162? And they should have been playing on Thursday, which would have given us an advantage, and now you're basically giving them an advantage because they're getting that off day. So this is going to be fascinating. It all could be a moot point by the end of today. But if we come back tomorrow, the Mets somehow get these games in today, win both, and the Braves lose, I mean, this is going to be pure chaos. Pure chaos. But we don't know yet, and we don't know what the hell's going to happen with the forecast, and they might have to push this doubleheader to tomorrow and then play on Thursday.
I was just looking out the window because I had to walk all the way to the other side of the building to the coffee, because for some reason the coffee doesn't work over here.
Okay.
And it hasn't worked over here for like 2 months, and nobody seems to be doing anything about it. I'm getting very angry at that, Al. Anyway, it's pouring outside.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's not going to stop.
It's brutal.
Well, it says it might stop around 1 o'clock, and then the tail of this thing's going to swing back. And then it's going to start raining again.
It's like, it's raw outside.
Mm-hmm. It's cold, it's raw.
Raw.
Cold rain.
Ugh.
They're going to try to play these games. I mean, if it's like light rain, they're going to try to play through it. That's what I think is going to happen. It's going to suck for the
players.
You have
to. Last week of the season, you got to get it over with, man. Playoffs start on Friday.
Yep. It does. Or maybe it starts 5 days later for the Mets because a miracle happens. Now, Don Mattingly did play for Buck Showalter, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And this is Don Mattingly's last two games as manager of the Marlins.
And I think you got to hold out hope. And, you know, you just got to keep thinking positive thoughts. And I know there's a lot of reason not to feel that way. But I said yesterday was our day that we had where we were at the wake.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're out of the wake.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to normal again.
Sort of.
Right, and the Braves kind of helped a little bit with the feeling that we had yesterday by losing last night.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a little bit of hope, but I mean, once they clinch and they start celebrating, if they clinch and they start celebrating, then you know that you're locked into that wild card series, then you're probably going to be bummed out again. You know, watching them celebrate the division title is going to be a tough thing, knowing that it was yours the entire time.
If they do it, still have to do it.
Yeah, if that happens, that's going to be a tough thing to watch.
There's a reason they play the games, G.
No, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yes, that is right. And, of course, the Marlins don't have Alcantara pitching. They shut him down. If you had him going today or the third game of the series, I'd be feeling really good. But you don't. So the Braves will probably snap back and figure this thing out and end it today. And then all of this stuff doesn't mean anything. Brian and Roslyn, what's going on, Brian?
How are you?
What's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nobody's talking about this. I don't think you guys have talked about this. Game 162 for the Mets might not matter for the division.
Yeah.
But guess what? It could matter for home field advantage in the World Series versus the Yankees, right? Because the Mets and Yankees basically have the same record. So hypothetically, do the Mets play that game? Like, hypothetically, if the Mets need to win that game to get home field advantage in a potential World Series, which obviously is, you know, ways out there, do they play that game, or do they just say, hey, we don't care?
I don't think you can look that far into the future. I think you got to play a game, or you got to play the situation that best fits you in the moment. You can't be thinking about something that may happen 5 weeks later. You know what I mean? You got to play in the moment for whatever is the best situation for your team in that moment, and not worry about what could happen 6 weeks from now.
But can you imagine if you get to game 6 and 7 in a World Series and the Mets have to play at Yankee Stadium?
If that ever happened, it would be the greatest problem. But yeah, that would be like the greatest problem we ever had. So let's hope that happens.
Yeah, no.
And a $10,000 ticket to get in, right?
Yes. Right, exactly. I remember paying like $1,000 back in 2000 to sit in the mezzanine. I can't even imagine what it would be nowadays. You know, think about that. Get into a Subway Series game? I mean, face value, screw it. Nobody's paying face value for those tickets.
And they split head-to-head if they wound up with the same record, right?
Yep, that's right.
I don't know if there's a third. There probably is
Third time. Not going to be a coin toss.
I mean, there has
common opponents.
I don't know.
Yeah, who the hell knows? Let's go to Joe, who's in Patchogue. What's going on, Joe?
Boomer, Geo, beautiful rainy day. How we doing?
Great. All right, Joey, what's happening, brother?
I'll tell you what's not going to get rained out tonight is the Knicks preseason game. I'm very excited about these new Knicks. Well, young Knicks. Although, the way that Thibodeau's been speaking, I'm a little concerned that it's going to be the same old Knicks. And I'm also concerned about this new look on Coach Thibs.
Yeah, he got more hair, kind of, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It looks like a pen exploded in his hair, or... It looks like he's dipping into Clyde just for Mangiel. I was wondering what you guys think's going on with that.
Yeah, I don't know. So when he met the media the other day and I saw that video, I thought that was a video from a couple of years ago because he had more hair and it was darker. So something definitely went on. I don't think that it's the hair tattoo from Scalp Micro USA. I think he just got some plugs or something.
Yeah, he might have.
Got some plugs.
Got the Brady plugs?
Maybe. Maybe everybody thinks Brady's got plugs. If he's got plugs, I got to find out who's doing that.
The one thing about his plugs, I mean, he looks like he's got a thick head of hair, Brady.
I know. I mean, they probably like cut the tail off a thoroughbred horse and put it in his hair. I mean, that looks amazing. Thick and beautiful.
Thick and beautiful.
Didn't Welker imply that he had...
Did he?
I thought he did.
I don't know. You know who's got new teeth is Rex Ryan. Have you seen Rex Ryan's teeth?
Yeah, he's got the big white ones.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, you got the big old chiclets.
If you watch him on TV, that's all you see is those big, giant white teeth.
Chompers.
Good for him. Chris in Easton, Pennsylvania. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I love you guys, but I just wish you would shut up about the Mets Braves situation right now. I mean, after the heartbreak of this weekend, you're building my hopes up again. I can't take it.
We're just talking scenarios, man. We're not saying it's going to happen, but
yeah.
The way the Braves played last night, I mean, you still got a shot. As long as you have a shot, you got a shot.
Yeah, it's like you haven't learned, though. Yeah. Yeah, same with Boomer talking about Tyler McGill at the beginning of the year. He owes me $10. I put $10 on that guy to win the Cy Young.
Well, that's your fault. I mean, he got hurt. What can I tell you?
What's your Venmo name? We'll send it over right now.
Well, I'll take $10 worth of free Dunkin'.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, Chris. I mean, I'm not trying to get your hopes
Chris
up.
Is, like, getting angry at us, man.
He's trying to
state what's going on and what the possibilities are. That's our job.
Yeah, it's misplaced anger is what it is, and I understand. And listen, it's probably not going to happen that way, but it's just fun to think about, especially with all the rain situation, the way the Braves played last night. I mean, it's still very unlikely. I'd be shocked if it happened. I'm preparing myself for a weekend series with the Mets.
The Braves are probably going to win 7-2 tonight. You know,
yeah,
that.
Be over. Yeah, I mean, the Braves definitely. Braves are definitely, they're going to win 7-2, 10-0. Braves are going to win 10-0 tonight.
That's my boy. That's what I'm talking about.
And then the next game that doesn't even matter, they're going to win that too.
You know how you lock it up? You bet on it.
Yeah, that is true. Of course, I placed my first NFL wager of the season last night, complete dud. Complete dud.
You didn't listen to me, did you?
No, it wasn't. I didn't pick a side of the game. Ended up going a prop bet. Just terrible. Absolutely terrible. Paul is in the Bronx. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, guys. Just a quick question.
So at the beginning of the season, I put a bet on the over for the Washington Nationals.
What was the number?
It was like 57, I believe.
Okay.
So now that was based on a 162-game season. If they don't finish, they're at 55 right now.
Yeah.
If they don't play all the games against the Mets, I think I deserve my money back.
Yeah, I think you will get your money back. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I believe you get your money back.
Has there ever been a situation where they haven't played the final games?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
There have
several times. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, when it says, I think it basically says on your ticket or on your app, you know, based on 162-game season. Because, I mean, think about it. If they didn't play one game or they didn't play 20 games, I mean, they have to, you're basing it on the amount of games that are scheduled, and you'd have to get your money back. Yeah, I mean, that would be a push in Vegas, I would think. If that win, if that last game, they had an opportunity to go over. If they didn't, obviously, then you wouldn't get your money back.
Yeah, so what was the number you had?
57.
All right, so they're at 55 right now. So,
are you a Mets fan?
I'm a Yankees fan.
I was going to say, because if you were a Mets fan, I'd ask you what you're rooting for.
That's a weird deal, yeah. So he's obviously rooting for the...
Always root for the money. Always root for the money.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I can't blame you for that. Then the Washington Nationals over-under in the beginning of the season, 57.
Wow.
Yeah, the Mets have blown through their over-under numbers, so that wouldn't matter for them. But I think that because that Thursday game, if it doesn't matter, there's a real good chance they don't play it, I would think. Because then you got both teams with a day off on Thursday going into
Friday. And you want everything
Friday.
To be kind of lined up, to be fair, that's all.
Then Buck wouldn't play anybody in that game anyway, though. You know, it would just be a...
Right.
Like basically a taxi squad type of situation.
So it's not looking good for Marte, is it?
No. Brutal. I mean, so
we finally got an answer.
We did get an answer
yesterday. Talking about it yesterday.
That's what it was. We put the pressure on him to give us some answers about Starling Marte. That is right. So, yeah, I guess he was gripping balls and bats and didn't come out of it feeling well. Yep. I mean, this is a bad one. And I keep saying this. When he first got hit,
yes.
The initial diagnosis was day to day. Day to day, they said, they're trying to avoid an IL stint. It's been a month at this point. So, return not imminent is what they said yesterday. And you're talking about needing him for Friday, potentially. We're sitting here on Tuesday. He's not going to be in the wild card series.
Man, this is taking forever.
I mean, how can you not grip a ball at this point? Was it that bad?
What game did he get hurt in?
It was against the Pirates, and it was in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it was a Tuesday, because Monday got rained out.
A two for Tuesday.
This is like the Mets version of 2 weeks to slow the spread.
Tuesday, September 6th.
Flatten the curve.
Tuesday, September 6th.
Yeah, Tuesday, September 6th, I believe that is the game where he got hit. How about that memory, huh?
Boom. Look at that.
I don't know how the hell I remembered that, but
it's almost a month now.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, that's where he got hit.
Yep. There it was. Man, oh, man.
Man, oh, man is right.
And we have not seen him since, and the offense is not. You know, how many times have we seen this in the past with the Mets where you're like, you saw it last year with DeGrom. You think you're getting a guy back, and you never get him back. I mean, especially when the initial diagnosis is we're going to see him in a little bit. Ah, we're hoping we can get through it, whatever it is.
On his fifth pitch, he was hit by the pitch.
And that was it.
That was it.
Saw. Yeah.
Big man's gone and Nurko's.
Yeah. Now you just got to hope you get him back. You know, if you win this wild card series. It gets either the Padres or the Phillies, and then you get them back for the DS against the Dodgers.
So what do you think? I guess this has got to be like a six-week injury then.
Well, at this point, I mean, it was...
We're into our fifth week now with him.
I mean, we're sitting here on a... I mean, so, yeah, well, we're into our fifth week. Yeah, it's been, I think...
Tuesday. Today's Tuesday, so it was a month ago Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's a month. 1 month.
Starting our fifth week with him.
And he still can't grip a ball.
He can't grip a ball.
Yeah. I mean, I came back quicker from a broken finger Belport baseball senior season. 2000. Broke my finger first day of practice. I came back 3 weeks. I was out there chucking.
And then what happened? Then you got hurt again, right?
I did. Separated my shoulder.
And that's when you started taking care of the book.
That's right.
Yep. You got the coach's award.
Yep, I did. I was in a sling.
They felt bad for you.
No, they didn't. No, they reckoned.
What is it about you every time you get on a like some sort of athletic field or something? When you think about this.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, our first softball game, you pull a hamstring.
Yeah.
Our softball game over in CVU, you pull the
quad.
The quad.
Yeah.
The bike tour.
I fell.
You fell.
Didn't get hurt there.
I know, but you
didn't
fell.
Get hurt, but I fell.
But you did fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's, I mean, here it is. Here's your first ever foray over at Fort Hamilton.
Here it is. And it got me right there. See?
Oh.
Got me right there. You saw it. It's like a sniper hit that hamstring.
Saw. Tom. But it's something about everything we do that has like a physical component to it. You end up getting hurt.
Well, except for Truck and Mirage in the sales, the Bangladesh call center.
Right.
I mean, I didn't get hurt there. He got hurt. He was limping around. Yeah, but I mean, it's unfortunate. This is why I didn't want to play. See, look at this. No one got hurt here except for Sean Mirage, who I pancaked.
Al Dukes almost got hurt.
Who I pancaked. I was all pissed off when CeeLo was like, that shocked me. I was like, how did that shock you? I mean, who's Sean Mirage? You know,
you got plumber's crack going on there.
Yeah, I know. They blurted it out. It's hilarious.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back with us. He's going to tell you about everything that happened in sports. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning to you, sir. We're brought to you by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. New body. We've got the Yankees, Rangers, a almost no-hitter for Luis Severino as he went seven no-hit innings, seven strikeouts. Yankees beat the Rangers 3-1, but he was done after seven. He had a pitch count and eclipsed it, as a matter of fact, and he did get some run support along the way as well.
Pitch. Stanton drills one to deep left center. It is high. Not as far. It is gone. Over the bullpen, up in the second deck. A Stantonian home run. Giancarlo, non si può stoppalo.
Cap to scoring, John Sterling. The call. That was the Yankees' third and final run. The Yanks did give up a run after that, but 3-1 was the final score as the Yankees win their 98th game of the season. As for Seve, here was Aaron Boone, Yankee manager, terrible having to do what he did.
The decision that sucks to have to make because he was, you know, very efficient too. You know, the decision would have been if he was through eight at that point. You know, I didn't really want to go more than 90 with him today. I was going to try and let him finish that seventh inning no matter what.
And he wound up going 96 pitches, that is. Here was Severino. How'd you feel about everything, and how'd you feel physically?
It was okay. It was not great. No, I mean, it was really good. I was feeling good from the beginning. You know, we were, the fastball was electric today. You know, we was hot on that. We were locating whatever, you know, he put the glove up there.
Yep, and here was Stanton on Yes afterwards. Feels for Severino that he couldn't finish and get that no-hitter.
Unfortunate that he's restricted on pitches, but it was awesome to watch, and good last start for him.
Now, in terms of Stanton offensively, home run the other day, hits another laser last night.
I'm getting there. Got three more games to lock it in, and yeah, so I'll practice for that.
And two of those games will be today. Split doubleheader starting on the Fan with coverage at 1:25. They'll play at 2 and then at 8 o'clock later on. As for the Mets, they were rained out. They've got a straight doubleheader planned. The weather does not look good, though, but who knows? We'll see. Here's Buck Showalter. When they do get on the field, they need to forget about what Atlanta's doing, and they got to worry about themselves.
Had a lot of opportunities that we have taken advantage of, and there'll be another one this season. And you know, everybody will seek their level, and they'll get what, unfortunately, the game's not always fair.
No, it's not.
Well, losing six out of your last nine, not right. Great. You haven't taken advantage of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Do you think you could name the top five teams from the best odds down to the worst odds to win the World Series?
From when the season started?
Right now in FanDuel Sportsbook. No, right now.
The Dodgers.
Dodgers, so, number one.
All right.
Astros, number two.
Yep.
Braves, number three.
Yep.
I would then say Yankees, number four.
Bingo, yep.
I'm going to say the Mets still.
Mets, number five.
You guys nailed it. The top five, Jay, just like that. Good right job. There,
right
look
there.
At that.
We're all over it.
Yeah.
Right
so
there.
The Dodgers are plus 300, Astros plus 380, Braves plus 500, Yankees plus 550, Mets plus 950.
So it goes basically in the order of best records.
Yeah, that's what it is, basically, at this point. And then the Blue Jays plus 1,600, Cardinals plus 1,700, Rays plus 2,000, Guardians plus 3,000, Padres plus 3,000.
You know, the amazing thing, all these teams have something about them
yes.
that's wrong with them, even the Dodgers.
And what's right about them.
But yeah, yes. I know, but that, you know, to me, what Verlander's doing for Houston, that's an ace. That's a guy who's going to win the American League Cy Young Award. And that's a guy who's going to lead his team to, I think, the World Series.
Okay, there it is. So you put your money on the Astros.
Marlins did beat the Braves last night 4-0. The Phillies did shut out the Astros 3-0 as they did clinch a playoff spot. And another one for Mr. Pujols.
Pujols swings and he drives this one left field down the line. And it's a gunner! A gunner for Albert Pujols and home run 703. 2-0 Cardinals.
And that is Cardinals radio with the call. They would wind up losing the game. That made it 2-0. They did lose the game 3-2. But home run number 703 in the amazing career of one Albert Pujols.
I mean, this is how you break records. This is how you hit milestones.
You're right.
If I'm Aaron Judge, I give him a call and say, what are you doing? I'm not doing. The hell's up with this? Now, I don't know what happened with the ball because that might be his last home run ever. So that ball will be
regular season home run.
Right, exactly. Regular season home run.
So what's worth more if he hits a postseason home run?
Probably this, because this is the number that people are going to talk about.
Interesting.
Yeah, and a Cardinal fan caught it, and apparently someone from the Cardinals went over there and said, Mr. Pujols would like the ball. I don't know what happened after that, if the guy kept it or not. But.
Not sure. Not sure. So we will see them in the playoffs. All right, Niners-Rams last night, Monday Night Football.
Now one tight end move. There's the snap in the pitch. Out goes to Wilson up the middle of the 30. Broke a tackle on the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5 on the numbers. Into the end zone. They chase him in there for a touchdown.
Yep. Kevin Harlan was great point. Overall, the Niners really played a good game last night. Beat the Rams 24-9. Defensively, they were outstanding. Matthew Stafford was sacked 7 times, pressured 5 more times. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 239 and a touchdown, including a 57-yarder to Deebo Samuel. More of the catch-and-run variety. Here was Samuel. Nice to get the Rams at least this time.
We knew we fell short last year, and we got to stack wins. One of the things we done all week long was getting back to moving the ball, running the ball, and converting on third down.
And also playing good defense, which is what they did. For Sean McVay's team, not a great night. You move on.
There was opportunities that I think we're capable of making, and we didn't do it. And it's coaches and players in this together. We'll continue to stay connected, and we'll move forward. And it's 4 games, but that's kind of where we're at.
4 games, both teams 2-2 through the first 4. Also on this game, as we heard on Manningcast, Al, we talked about this on the warm-up show Monday through Friday, 5-6 on the Fan. So the guy runs on the field, and there's video of it everywhere when the networks are not supposed to be showing it. But as Peyton said, well, why can't we? And then they did.
The B team, like, we should be able to show that. See, that's why. Here you go. Yeah.
There he is. Yes. There he is. Nice. Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's what we're talking
Wagner.
About. Wagner.
Bobby.
A veteran, right? Get him down. Now get out and let these guys take over.
And he did. He clobbered him and tackled him. Wagner said afterwards, why?
I just saw somebody running on the field, and he looked like he wasn't supposed to be on the field. So I saw security was having a little problem, so I helped him out.
Simple as that. Now, I know why they don't show him, because then everybody's going to run on the field. They're going to have ads and advertisements and everything else. But
now you can get on the Manning cast, though.
You can get on the Manning cast, yes. But also you get it on Twitter. People at the stadium put it up there as well.
There's
so it's
a million different angles of it.
You're going to see it at some point.
Yeah. Everybody's got it on TV. Everybody's got the phone out.
Do you remember when James Harrison body slammed the guy?
I do.
Oh, that was the best one ever.
It was also a Patriot who body slammed the guy, and I thought it was right after halftime of Nipplegate.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
back
on
then.
CBS. One of the papers. Larry Izzo, maybe?
I don't remember that one.
Right as the kickoff was, they were ready to kick off the Patriots. And some guy ran on the field, got waylaid.
Oh, it's the best.
Good, they deserve it.
I thought it was Justin Bieber coming back out. No, for an encore. No, Justin Timberlake, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, confused me there.
Sunday, the Giants and Packers will be in London. Here was Brian Daboll. So we know Daniel Jones is day-to-day with the ankle injury. So could Davis Webb be the starter?
I don't want to, you know, guess right now on Monday where all the other guys are going to be. But I think you know, Davis has been in our offense for quite some time. You know, he knows the ins and outs of it. So if he has to play, you know, we'll do everything we can. And I know he will to be ready to play.
And Al did put on the show sheet that the post did a nice spread of Davis Webb's girlfriend or wife. And that usually means, at least in the past, maybe it's just been a fluke.
He's playing.
So we'll see. We will see Sunday in London. And Tyrod Taylor not making the flight, correct?
Right. There's no way he's in concussion protocol.
Okay. Well, I got it, too. Also flew back from wherever he was 2 weeks ago.
I don't know where he's watching MacGruber. He was.
Yes, I know, but believe me, the sensitivities now are just off the charts.
Understood. Now, Tyreek Hill, he spoke yesterday, Jets-Dolphins, and we know Teddy Bridgewater's a quarterback. Tyreek Hill was reminded how he has said in the past that, listen, it don't matter who the quarterback is, I'm Tyreek Hill. Reporter yesterday with Hill.
I know you said that, like, QB doesn't necessarily matter to your production. I think you said you put up numbers with Alex Smith, you put up numbers with...
I'll put up numbers with you. Come on.
This guy seems like a lot of fun. He would have been great here.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Well, you know, of course.
Pretty funny.
Well, hopefully Garrett Wilson turns into Tyreek Hill.
So is Kadarius Toney making a trip to London?
Tell me. Is he ever playing again?
Yeah. He's probably going to have another. He's got more hamstring problems than I have.
So, in all honesty, I got to believe that both Joe Shane and Brian Daboll cannot wait to get rid of this guy.
So that's unfortunate because he's, you know, as talented as we've seen a giant wide receiver since Odell Beckham Jr., but he just can't. He's never on the field.
You know, a friend texted me, there's the most important part of ability is availability. And, you know, he is just hasn't been available.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't seem like a guy that they generally like either. Even when he was available, he wasn't getting a lot of snaps. So, yep, not good.
Broncos running back Javonte Williams done for the season. Torn ACL and torn LCL in his right knee. I'm going to play this because this is odd. So Mississippi State beat Texas A&M Saturday. After the game.
How do you feel about Mississippi, Boomer?
I love me some Dak Prescott.
So after the game, Mike Leach does one of these conversations walking off the field with Alyssa Lang on the SEC network. I guess at the end of this, she tells him that she's engaged and asked the coach if he had any advice for her and her fiance, Trevor. So Leach had no problem answering. He goes, first, you've done a bad job keeping your engagement quiet.
Whatever you and Trevor decide, I would kind of keep it on the down low, which you failed to do that. Trevor was probably planning to, but you didn't.
He goes on to say, not a word from here, just go get married.
Don't say anything else about it, but as soon as the season's over, or even an off week, go elope. Trust me on that. Go elope.
Now he would continue.
I think he's trying to you know, do right by her dad so he doesn't pay for it.
He then says, understand, though, if you do that, the women that you know are going to be mad at you.
Basically, every female in the family is going to terrorize you guys until it's over. Once it's over, I mean, they'll be upset for a few days, but it'll be over. And then, you know, you cruise along, have a happy marriage, have a happy life.
So at this point.
Wait, this is after the game?
Yes, on the field.
I mean, like.
Yeah, but she brought it up to him.
Well, yes, what type of narcissistic person has to ask a coach about their engagement after a football game?
I don't know.
I mean, my Lord.
So she tries to cut it off at this point, but he wasn't done. He had one more thing to say about much how eloping is the way to go.
Basically, every female in the family is going to terrorize you guys. Trevor, unless he's crazy, is totally on my side. And trust me on this. If Trevor doesn't have the sense to do that, tell him to call me, because, I mean, he needs to do trust. I've told all my kids, I'll give you $10,000 extra if you elope. So far, they haven't done it, but I would, too.
Yeah, well, I tried to.
So weird.
Listen, yeah. I tried to buy Sydney out of the wedding.
I do remember that. I do remember
Didn't
that.
Work.
Didn't happen.
Right, and you got that tent.
You could have bought the Broncos instead.
What?
You said you could have bought the Broncos instead.
It was worth every penny.
Oh, man. You had a caller about the Knicks playing tonight. Last night, the Nets played.
Oh, Simmons over his head to Claxton for the flush.
Yeah, preseason basketball. That was Ryan Rucco on the YES Network. Ben Simmons did get his first action.
Saw a few of these highlights. Ben Simmons is going to be a good player for you guys. I have a feeling.
He's going to do everything they've needed.
Yeah, I don't know about the shooting aspect and all that stuff.
Don't need him to shoot.
Free throws and all that, but he looks like he's going to
be a 7-foot point guard who can play center.
He's going to be a pain in the ass. Jalen Brunson's going to be looking up to him.
Maybe. The Knicks play the Pistons tonight. I did think this was funny. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar tweeted a photo of Kyrie Irving giving the finger to the Boston fans, and then he wrote... Abdul-Jabbar wrote, quote, "Let's make sure our kids have the right kind of role models. Kyrie Irving should reconsider his behavior because young people look up to him." Fair enough. To which someone responded to Kareem with an old newspaper clipping of Kareem giving the finger to either three players or the fans. You can't really tell in the photo, which I thought that was kind of
I also
interesting.
Saw, responded to that tweet, a video of Kareem playing in a game, punching a guy in the face. He legit punched a guy in the face on the court, which I'd never seen before.
Oh,
like,
good.
The guy pushed Kareem in the back, and he turned around and just went, BOW! On the court.
You have to remember, as we get older, we get a little bit more sensitive, and we try to say, don't do what we did.
That's fine, but then post it that way. Be better, exactly.
Be better.
Post it and say, don't do what I did. As opposed to just throwing it out there and then having people throw it in your face.
Right.
Exactly. He's also mad at Kyrie because Kyrie retweeted conspiracy theory.
Weeks ago, yes. Right, yeah. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, what's his name? Jones or something?
Alex
Jones.
I did.
Alex Jones,
I did
see that, yes. Yeah, yeah. So he got all ticked off at that.
Islanders, Flyers tonight, preseason hockey. Devils, Bruins. Devils won 1-0 last night.
All right, thanks, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I'll tell you who my guy is. That's Mike Hutchinson, 55-year-old manager of environmental services at a company called Ameren. He is the guy who caught the 703rd Pujols home run last night that could be his last regular season home run and the number that he lands on. And I'll tell you why he's my guy. Because the Cardinals came up to him. I found the answer to my question.
And he said no.
The Cardinals came up to him and said, Mr. Pujols would like that ball. We'd like to exchange it for a signed Albert Pujols baseball. And you know what he said?
No.
Go screw. And he's a Cardinals fan. And apparently, someone came up to him and offered him $100,000 in exchange for the ball. And he also declined that. He said, due to the immediacy of the offer and without a way to know whether the man was serious or not, he declined that as well. So he put the ball in his pocket, and he got out of there.
All right, so here we go. This I heard Craig and Evan talking about this. Authentication of these baseballs. And are there people that are going to authenticate these things? Like, I guess somebody, if I remember correctly, they were talking about somebody having the 59th ball of this Aaron Judge run.
Before they started swapping the balls out with the numbers on them, yes.
And this guy bought the ball from somebody on the spot, $1,500, and he sent the $1,500 to the guy who caught the ball via Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
So now the authenticators supposedly were there in the stadium, if I get the story right. So far, so good, I think. And the authenticators would not authenticate the ball, according to this guy who has the ball, because the moment the ball was paid for and given to somebody else, they decided not to authenticate it?
Yeah, that's a strange one.
I mean, did you hear the story, Al?
No, I heard when Darren Rovell, they had him on about...
Yeah.
And he was just talking about that you have to get that ball authenticated as soon as you catch it. Like, you cannot leave, don't go anywhere, or
yeah,
it's not
so that's
working.
Why this was an argument about the 59th ball, is that it supposedly changed hands right there in the stadium, and then they wouldn't authenticate it once... Now, again, this is according to the guy who has the ball now, who spent the $1,500 to get the ball from the guy who got it in the first place. How could you not authenticate it?
Yeah, I see. That's a tough one. This guy, it's clear as day on the video that he catches it. I mean, it's not even close. So he should have an easy time authenticating the 703rd home run ball, which I don't think they're swapping out balls for Pujols like they're doing for Judge.
I feel like you need a third party to authenticate it, though. That's the point.
Now, who do you go to?
I mean, when we sell autographs at venues, whether it's a black tie venue or we're doing a something online or something like that, you have to have the authentication. When I do signings for, like, Panini card companies, I have to get it notarized.
Yeah, someone's got to watch you do it, of course. Yeah. Now, by the way, the guy who caught the 62nd home run of the 98 season, Mark McGwire's 62nd, he didn't get money back for it, but he got, what they say in this article, a bevy of goods and experiences, including a free minivan and an opportunity to meet President Clinton. That's what he got. I mean, a minivan and an opportunity to meet President Clinton. Yeah. That guy's in his house right now with a mask on, you know.
Well, the interesting thing for me is, like, this guy now who caught the ball yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Does he hold on to it because he is a Cardinals fan, or do you think he does put it up?
I mean, I would be surprised. I think you have to go and get it appraised, what someone thinks it could go for at auction, and if that number is significant, he's probably going to sell it.
The interesting thing, too, is he could actually do an NFT of him catching the ball with it.
But maybe. He should sell it quick, because if he hits 704, that's worth a lot less.
That is true. But would somebody be willing to take that risk as well of buying 703?
Someone who's willing to pay $150,000 for a baseball?
Yes.
Yeah, but didn't Albert Pujols say that when he hit a 700th,
he did,
that the fans should keep the ball? It's for them. It's not for me.
Yep. And apparently they approached him. Mr. Pujols wanted the ball last night.
So all of a sudden that changed.
Yeah, I guess so, for 703. And he's still playing in games. I don't know if they're going to sit him down the last couple of games, but he's still playing. So he could hit 704, 705 in the run that he's on. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to get a 62. Who knows if someone's going to catch it.
Well, you said he's not going to do it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And I felt like you were very passionate about saying that he's not going to do it.
Yeah, reverse jinx. See how real it is. Matt is in Marlboro, New Jersey. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a potential solution for the Mets.
Okay.
So this weather system, it's pretty much in all of Jersey, Metro New York, Pennsylvania, but not Washington. What if the Mets went down there and played as the home team? The reason I say that is they've done that before, where I think the Yankees played at Shea or vice versa as the home team for some whatever situation. And I believe there was also a situation in other parts of the country where a team couldn't play home. And the reason I say that is 162 is of monumental importance for a lot of different reasons. Vegas, for playoff reasons, et cetera. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it might not matter for Vegas if you get to the situation where that last game, 162, the Mets won the first two games, because then it wouldn't be possible for the Nationals to reach their over-under number. And the Mets have already passed their over-under number, so I don't think that that's going to matter much. I guess it's a possibility. It could be on the table if they had to. But I think that because Thursday's so nice, they probably end up just having the team stay in New York and play on Thursday if they had to. And I don't know how they're going to play today. But they're going to try to play two games when the forecast basically says 75% chance of rain or better for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm looking at my dark sky right now, and it says rain except for between 7 and 8 p.m., but it's going to be like raw. You know, it's going to be like 50 degrees.
Yeah, cold rain, not good.
Cold rain.
Oops. Cold rain. Yeah, so I'm looking now, like there's only like a break here around 2, like 1 or 2.
So you got a break around 1 or 2. I don't have that break.
All right, this is, for me, this is weather.com app. and they have a break at right around 1 or 2 o'clock. But that doesn't matter because they're not playing until 4.
Yeah.
So what does it matter? Yeah, look at this. See, 1 o'clock, 24%, 2 o'clock, 20%, and then 4, it's back up to 74, 82, 73. Oh, God. What a mess. Tom is in Rockland. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys? The problem with authenticating that 59th ball, when the ball comes, when the balls come out to the umpire, they bring out like 4 or 5 balls to the umpire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, judge falls off 2 or 3 of them. Now, once that ball goes over the fence for the 59th home run, you don't know what's the difference between the ball in pitch 1 or the ball in pitch 4 or 5 where he hit the home run. There might be 3 or 4 balls marked for that at bat. Mm-hmm. Once that ball changes hands, you don't know which one's which.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. Now, if you want to tell me that the guy who caught the ball is on video and then gives a testimonial saying, yes, I gave the ball to this guy, and here's my Venmo account showing that he paid me, I mean, I don't even know if that's enough to authenticate.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the guy who supposedly had the ball, according to Craig and Evan's story, I didn't see it. I was listening to those guys talk about it. But, you know, they were saying how the guy paid for the ball right then and there, got the ball,
mm-hmm.
and then the authenticators that were in the stadium that were there for that reason from Major League Baseball said they would not authenticate the ball, and that's what he said.
Yeah.
The guy who has the ball.
Yeah, so well, I don't know if that's 59 worth anyway. It's 59.
Could be the guy cutting you off on the Sudden State Parkway yesterday, whatever.
Right. Kevin in Brooklyn. What's up, Kevin? Kevin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, man, I got a great idea about what the Mets should do.
Okay.
They should just forfeit the games. We're never going to play 3 games in the next 36 hours.
Just let's forfeit them. Just say, take the loss and get ready for Friday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the prize would be if we won the division, we'd get time off to stage our guys, right?
Yeah.
Let's just forfeit the games, stage everybody up for the pods. We're not going to play, and even if we do, God forbid, something could happen to Pete or Lindor or something like that in a rain-soaked doubleheader or a tripleheader on Wednesday or some stupidity. Just forfeit the games, get shaken, match ready to go, let's beat the pods. Is that possible? Has that ever been done?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you're allowed to forfeit a game.
No.
I mean, if there's not a good reason.
I mean,
that's what a Met fan is right now.
Right.
Just forfeit the games. This is what happened when you get swept by the Braves. Just forfeit them. Yeah, I don't think that has happened. I will take a look at that, but I don't think that's even a possibility.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.